Well, good afternoon and welcome to another edition of In Transition. My name is Randy McElligott, and this afternoon we're going to be featuring the music of one of the most prolific pianists of the last 10, 15 years, Mr. Keith Jarrett. We're going to be listening to a lot of stuff of his this afternoon. We're going to be starting off with a recording that he made in 1966 with the Charles Lloyd Group, featuring Cecil McBee on bass and Jack Desjnet on drums. This is a song written by Charles Lloyd entitled Forest Flower. It was recorded September 18th, 1966 at the Monterey Jazz Festival. Oh, fine example there of early Keith Jarrett, recorded September the 18th, 1966 at the Monterey Jazz Festival, featuring Keith Jarrett on piano, Cecil McBee on bass, and Jack Dejanet on drums, and of course Charles Lloyd handling the beautiful tenor sax playing of that piece that we just heard, one of Charles Lloyd's most famous pieces, a song entitled Forest Flower. And last week I managed to pick up a book entitled Keith Jarrett, The Man and His Music by Ian Carr. And if you have a chance to pick this up, it's very good. I only started reading it, but there's a lot of really good stuff in here describing Keith Jarrett's early infatuation with music, even covering some Miles Davis, Charles Lloyd, even the stuff that he's doing now for ECM. But I just wanted to read you something here about this recording that we just heard in 1966. Forest Flower, recorded at Monterey on the 18th of September 1966, shows just how vital this group was and how important to it was the extraordinary rapport between the piano and drums. The title track is a continuous performance that takes up the whole of side one, and it is full of interest. The long, delicately rocking fade-out has one of his hands inside the piano stopping a string. With his other hand, he plays the same note on the keyboard, beating out a strange, choked rhythm. And that's the dexterity that Keith Jarrett shows in his playing. I remember seeing him a number of years ago at Place des Arts, and it was just a captivating performance. One of the things that Keith Jarrett was very short on was interruptions from the audience, and if there was a lot of coughing going on or a lot of sneezing, he would literally stop the performance, get up and conduct the crowd to get their sneezing and coughing over with before he could continue to perform. And I saw him on one occasion simply just walk off the stage in disgust. He was very, very involved in his music whenever he played. In fact, this is what Keith Jarrett had to say. I grew up with the piano. I learned its language while I learned to speak. So he was very involved with the sound of the piano at a very early age. And in this book, there's an interesting thing here called the Annual Spring Concert presenting Keith Jarrett, six-year-old pianist, April 22nd, 1952. And it's really incredible seeing how Keith Jarrett was a real child prodigy. He was born in Allentown, Pennsylvania on the 8th of May, 1945, which was the day of the National Rejoicing in America, VE Day. And we're going to continue listening to some more music by Keith Jarrett right now. We're going to listen to a duet that he did with Gary Burton, a song entitled Grow Your Own, and then we're going to follow that up with Keith Jarrett on a track called Pardon My Rags. That was music from Keith Jarrett from a 1971 recording entitled Pardon My Rags. And before that we heard Gary Burton and Keith Jarrett and a song entitled Grow Your Own, which is mentioned in the biography by Ian Carr, simply entitled Keith Jarrett, The Man and His Music. Well, we're going to move up now to the year 1975, and this is a recording that he made with Kenny Wheeler entitled New High. New High was recorded in New York in June of 1975, and Keith Jarrett saw the music only a few hours before the session. There was no rehearsal and very little communication. They went into the studio, and Jarrett handed back one of the pieces of music to Wheeler, saying, "I can't do anything with that one." Wheeler felt a stab of apprehension, thinking, "He doesn't like it." But Jarrett was ill at ease himself, partly because the music was not exactly his bag, and also because he was not too familiar with it. Kenny Wheeler's music is harmonically extremely rich and full of vertical chord changes, in other words, successive chords which imply very different scales. And to make sense of such music, the chords and the improvisations on them need to be clearly related. Keith Jarrett remembers, "I had a lot of trouble trying to deal with playing those kinds of changes. That wasn't where I was at that time. That album on paper didn't provoke my interest. It wasn't that I couldn't do them. Sometimes the structures were so inorganic and fully described that I wanted to make them something with round sides. And they would have these vertical messages every beat or two. It's one of the reasons I didn't do many sessions, because I just didn't want to get into that kind of situation. Though with Kenny Wheeler and with that band, that wasn't like a Blue Note session. People may wonder how responsible I am to the music when I get it, whether I just glance at it. This incredibly talented person who just glances at it and relates to it, but when I get music from somebody, even if it's a lead sheet, I'm doing a lot of work with it, and I'm very happy if people send the music ahead of time." Keith Jarrett was never afraid of going into a session, and this next track that we're going to listen to, entitled Smatter, from this session in 1975, features Kenny Wheeler on flugelhorn, Dave Holland on bass, and Jack Desjarnais on drums, and of course, our featured artist this afternoon, Mr. Keith Jarrett. Thank you. Music from Miles Davis and a composition written by Miles Davis entitled Honky Tonk. And you notice that heavy blues-based rhythm that drove Miles Davis's music. This was from 1974 and it features Keith Jarrett on piano. Very interesting album indeed. The album's called Get Up With It on Columbia. It's a double album by Miles Davis. And you could see Keith Jarrett's playing on that particular album was very daring and very very interesting. One of the things that Miles Davis liked about Keith Jarrett was his way of playing, his interpretations and his desire to take chances in a tasteful way and a creative way. Very important to Keith Jarrett's playing. Well, what was interesting was that while Keith Jarrett was playing with Charles Lloyd, Miles Davis was eyeing him very carefully. And just after Miles Davis made Bitches Brew, Keith Jarrett was on board playing some very interesting music as only Miles Davis could play. Well, my name is Randy McElligott, and you're listening to In Transition on CHUO-FM. We're looking at the music this afternoon of Keith Jarrett, and he does have a considerable output there of music, and it would take at least two or three specials to cover just part of Keith Jarrett's repertoire. But this afternoon we're going to be spending 2 hours on his music. We're going to continue now with an album that he made entitled Treasure Island. And this album not only features Keith Jarrett on piano, but also soprano sax and Ozzy drum. It also features Dewey Redman, Sam Brown, Sister Fortune, Charlie Hayden on bass, Paul Motian on drums and percussion, and Guilherme Franco and Danny Johnson on percussion. It was recorded February 27th and 28th, 1974 at Generation Sound Studios in New York City. We're going to give a listen to a track entitled Le Mistral. This is Keith Jarrett on In Transition. Thank you. Music from Keith Jarrett and a song entitled Le Mistral, taken from his album Treasure Island. One thing that I really wasn't really aware of was that Stan Kenton had eyes on Keith Jarrett at an early age, and as a result, he sat in with Stan Kenton's band at Atlantic City in Pottsville, Pennsylvania, and both times they were at Stan Kenton's invitation. So you could see that very early on in Keith Jarrett's musical life, some well-known people out there were very interested in his talents and wanted to have him play with them. Well, we're going to continue now. We're featuring the Impulse Years. The last album that you heard was on the Impulse label. We started off with the beginning of the show this afternoon with some of his Atlantic recordings, and then we went over to Miles Davis on Columbia, but now we're listening to his Impulse Years, and we're going to continue with an album called Backhand and Mysteries. We're going to listen to a song called Vapalia and Flame. Thank you.
Thank you.
Beautiful composition by bassist Charlie Hayden entitled Silence. And that was taken from the album Bop B, released on the Impulse label. And that concludes our feature of his Impulse recordings. We're going to move along now to his ECM recordings. We're going to jump to a few years to the early 1980s. And what Keith Jarrett did in the 1980s, I thought was very interesting. He released a few albums known as Standards. Standards Volume 1, Volume 2, and Standards Live. And we're going to listen to these albums this afternoon. The first one we're going to listen to was recorded January 1983 at the Power Station in New York City. And it features his old music mate Jack Desjarnais on drums and Gary Peacock on bass. We're going to give a listen to a song written by Bobby Troup and Lee Worth, a song entitled The Meaning of the Blues. And then we're going to follow that up with another standard entitled I Fall in Love Too Easily. This is Keith Jarrett on In Transition. beautiful, beautiful recording of a song entitled I Fall in Love Too Easily from the album Standards Volume 2. Before that, we listened to Standards Volume 1, The Meaning of the Blues. Definitely pick up these Standards albums that this trio recorded. Keith Jarrett on piano, Gary Peacock on bass, and Jack Desnett on drums. They're real gems. They're just incredible. And I'll give you a little reading here from the book on Keith Jarrett's life. It says that it's hard to believe that any musicians in 1985 could make a momentous album simply playing standard tunes, but such is the case here. Everything about Standards Live is superlative. The incredible dynamism, the sheer creativity of the three men, the feeling of ecstasy that pervades the whole concert, and the interplay and interdependence of the trio. This will always rank as one of the most glorious working units in jazz history. And I tend to agree with that. The chemistry between these three musicians is just incredible, and isn't that what jazz is all about? If you go back in time and listen to the Bill Evans trio of the early 60s, the chemistry between those three were just incredible, Scott LaFaro and Bill Evans. And for a moment here, I cannot remember the drummer, but it will come to me. It's not Marty Morrell. It's someone that I just happen to forget at the moment. But anyway, we're going to continue now with the Standards Live from 1985 and a song entitled The Old Country.
Thank you.
Beautiful recording of The Old Country, and that was taken from an album entitled Standards Alive. Gary Peacock on bass, Jack Desjarnais on drums, and the man himself, Mr. Keith Jarrett, our featured artist this afternoon on In Transition on the piano. One of the interesting things about going to a Keith Jarrett concert is that unlike most concerts that you go to, you usually shout out a lot of the familiar tunes, a lot of the jazz standards, but at a Keith Jarrett solo recital, you shout out the key of C or the key of D sharp, F sharp, anything like that, and Keith Jarrett will pick up on it and just start playing within that key, anything that comes to mind. Total improvisation and creativity. That's the hallmark of Keith Jarrett's playing. And we're going to continue with a fine example of that, taken from probably his most famous, or rather most popular album, The Cone Concert, released on ECM. We're going to listen to The Cone Concert Part 2C. This is unabashed Keith Jarrett in his element in Cone. Thank you. Music from Keith Jarrett from his famous Cone concert that he gave and was finally released on the album The Cone Concert, K-O-L-N, if you have a chance to pick that up. I believe it's re-released on CD, and it's definitely a worthwhile investment if you're into the music of Keith Jarrett. We're going to continue now with music from his Impulse years. We're going to go back here a little bit. The year is 1976, and this is one of the last albums that he made for the Impulse label, entitled Shades. And again, it features Dewey Redman on tenor sax, maracas and tambourine, Charlie Hayden on bass, Paul Motian on drums and percussion, and Guilherme Franco on percussion. We're going to listen to a song written by Keith Jarrett entitled Diatribe. Thank you. Whoa, that was quite an involved piece there by Keith Jarrett from his album Shades, song entitled Diatribe, featuring Keith Jarrett on piano, wood drums, and percussion, Dewey Redman on tenor sax, maracas, and tambourine, Charlie Hayden on bass, Paul Motin on drums and percussion, and Guilherme Franco on percussion, produced by Esmond Edwards for the Impulse label. My name is Randy McElligott, and you're listening to In Transition on CHUO-FM, serving the Ottawa Hall area and surroundings. We're going to continue now with music from an album that he recorded in 1970 with Gary Burton on vibes, Sam Brown on guitar, Steve Swallow on bass, and the great drummer Bill Goodwin, July 23rd, 1970. We're going to give a listen to a track written by Keith Jarrett entitled Fortune Smiles.
Hey, this is Santa's helper. Well, one of Santa's helpers, reminding you that there's only one thing Santa likes better than bringing gifts, and that's writing letters to children everywhere. But before Santa can do that, you have to write to him. It's really easy. Just write your letter and mail it to Santa Claus, North Pole, Postal Code, HOHOHO. Hey, that spells ho-ho-ho! Oh, and don't forget to put your return address and postal code on your letter, and pretty soon you'll have a letter from Santa!
Ho, ho, ho!
Oh, he loves his postal code.
We're listening to the music of Keith Jarrett, our featured artist this afternoon on In Transition. My name is Randy McAllaghan, and don't forget, if you're by a bookstore, pick up the book by Ian Carr entitled Keith Jarrett, The Man and His Music. It's filled with a lot of interesting stories about Keith Jarrett's rise to fame as a musician from his early days as a child prodigy. It's a must-have if you're into Keith Jarrett's music. Don't forget, next week I'll be playing the music of Bill Dixon, Last Exit, and Sun Ra. It's going to be a journey to the edge next Sunday on In Transition. And coming up next, we have musical news from Germany with Mr. Hank D. Bye for now. My name is Randy McElligott. So long.